Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good afternoon.
2 weeks in a row, dude.
2 weeks in a row. What's happening?
Getting to be regular.
Yeah.
Well, we're off next week.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're off next week because it's Christmas, right? So we're going to give Derek the day off, too. Do a little best of something or other.
I was going to say, I started taking this psyllium husk fiber powder, and I'm regular all the time. TMI?
You know, I got TMI. A long story about why I take fiber all the time. And my good buddy Joe, it's a long story. Not decent for radio, mind you. But I take fiber on a regular basis. Metamucil,
huh?
Stay regular. Yeah, maybe I'll get him as a sponsor, right?
When you get in your 50s, you got to stay regular.
Got to be. Well, speaking of regular, it's the holiday season, and it's time for you to probably stock up on liquor. And if you want the best liquor prices in town, go to Grapevine Market, 106 Lafayette Street, South Lyon, 248-437-7004. They also have pizza and parties and subs. So if you're doing the holiday Christmas party, the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day party, whatever, make sure you have liquor. And of course, liquor is always the go-to gift for me when I don't know what to buy my friends or relatives. A good bottle of booze, it's easy, right?
And quicker.
And it's quicker with liquor, yes. You don't have to put a whole lot of thought into it. You know, everyone normally knows what people like to drink. So
ask Linda Hughes. She likes to drink.
Kelly, I need you to personally collect urine from all the employees.
Now, you know, those upper management missives are getting tougher and tougher.
You had to bring that one out, Derek. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyways, if you want the best prices in South Lyon, and frankly, in all of that Whitmore Lake, Brighton area, go to South Lyon Market and buy your liquor there. And it's, again, 248-437-7004. You guys are making it really tough on me to get.
That was my soundbite of the day because I'm a huge Drew Carey fan. I love watching the reruns. And Carey sounded close enough to Gary, so I went with it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're going to talk
So I've got my cup right here for you.
You've already been dipping into the old coffee or tea, whatever it is. You're caffeined out. Okay, so let's, before we get into the debate and this omnibus bill and all the other bad stuff that happened, I wanted to get into something a little more local that's also very bad.
A little more juicy.
How about this for Michigan? And this happened over in Grand Rapids area. A killer in prison sues the prison for being out of waffles and being served leftover peach cobbler. How is that for the utter disgrace of our legal system when a prisoner can sue for that? Ayatonda Taylor, 44, who killed his brother, Moisey Taylor, 36, in Grand Rapids in May of 2006, filed a federal lawsuit against Aramark, the former food service provider, at the state of the Department of Corrections. He alleged that unsatisfying food substitutions put the Bellamy Creek Correctional Facility at risk of a riot, leaving him at risk of injury beyond nutritional deficiency. Are you kidding me? At least U.S. District Judge Paul Maloney in Kalamazoo didn't buy it, and they dismissed the lawsuit. But in what insane world do we allow a prisoner to even file a lawsuit over something like this?
Yeah, how does it get that far? And then you hear the stories, too, of people, for example, going to a fast food restaurant, and their burger wasn't to their liking, and they call 911.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that happens. Yeah. Well, you see that on local news all the time.
Yeah, the lady who had the hot coffee spilled on herself, that's the classic everyone uses. She got $500,000 from McDonald's or whatever. You know what? This is the insanity of our legal system. There'd be room in the legal system to get to some serious stuff if you take crap like this and get it out. And thankfully, let's give a little kudos to District Judge Paul Maloney in Kalamazoo, who wasn't buying it and tossed it out. So I just wanted to get that out there. I saw that earlier today, and I just had to – I was so outraged that this is going to happen.
How much did this cost the taxpayer?
Well,
was this guy appointed a public lawyer to file for him, and then the judge has to get involved, and then it's all billable, I'm sure.
It says here if he wants to appeal it, there's a $505 filing fee. Now, he's not paying for that himself, obviously, because you only make like 11 cents an hour in prison, right? So I'm sure that we paid for and that there's provisions in the system for these prisoners to go ahead and sue us for that kind of crap. That's just the ultimate and ridiculous that we would have to put up with that, you know? Yeah. Terrible. Well, let's go from that to some good news, because this was something I saw on Facebook, so I wanted to share it with people. A Tennessee McDonald's is getting nationwide attention after a woman recently drove by a fast food McDonald's in Tennessee and was shocked to see a large nativity scene painted on the windows. Now, you imagine doing that in Dearborn? I don't think
or Ann Arbor?
Or Ann Arbor, yes. Somebody would be suing them for...
ACLU?
Yes, you can't do that. I can't digest my Big Mac now because you put a nativity scene on there. Are you kidding me? So I just thought, you know, that's great. I wanted to give a little shout-out to that McDonald's down there in... I don't know if it tells us what town it is. Spring Hill, Tennessee. McDonald's in Spring Hill, Tennessee did this. So there you go. Thank you very much, you guys, for standing up and taking whatever guff I'm sure you're going to get. Now that it's been across the nation on Facebook and whatnot and on the news, they're probably going to get the ACLU involved to say, you can't do that. And you can't have pork either. So much for breakfast sandwiches anymore. They're going to have all beef patties. You know where I was going with that. Special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onion on a sesame seed English muffin.
Isn't that a different franchise?
No, that's
McDonald's. Is that McDonald's and not Burger King?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what we grew up with.
Okay,
yeah. Well, beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onion on a sesame seed bun. Yeah, that was the Big Mac. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
That's our...
What was the Burger King thing? You have it your way?
Yes, Derek's nodding yes. I don't know. You remember Burger Chef and Jeff, right?
I do, and I remember Jack in the Box, too.
Jack in the Box.
Ride my bike up there when I was, you know, other parts of the state.
Okay, so anyways, we got through those, so let's get to the meeting. You want to start with the debate? Let's just get it out of the way. Did you watch the debate?
No.
You didn't watch it at all? No. Didn't bother? Did you see any clips from it or anything else?
I don't have cable, so. No, I didn't. Usually I'll watch some clips afterwards, but I did not. I heard commentary about it, though.
Okay, so I watched all of it, the kitty debate first and then the second one. And Rick Santorum was actually pretty good on the kitty debate, and so was Mike Huckabee. They were strong. If they'd been strong like this years ago, they might not be at the kitty table now. But that's irregardless. The debate itself, the main stage debate, was pretty good. And, of course, if you look at the polls online, Donald Trump came out on top. And this time, maybe he deserved it. I don't know. But he came out on top. Ted Cruz did wonderful. I think Marco Rubio shot himself in the foot because he's just looking liar. And that's kind of what I want to concentrate on is the fact that he was shilling on Ted Cruz saying, you know, hey, you know, you're for amnesty and you're open the border and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah, you're a dumbass like, just like I am is what Marco Rubio is saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and unfortunately it comes down to this. Who was one of the architects, the Gang of Eight amnesty bill? It was Marco Rubio. So whatever crap he wants to throw out there and his super PACs want to throw out there against Ted Cruz just doesn't fly. It really doesn't. Of all the candidates up there, Ted Cruz is probably the most consistently conservative guy up there. And for anyone to try to paint a picture of Ted Cruz as not being consistently conservative like Marco Rubio did, just goes to show you how desperate Rubio is.
He's throwing that pizza up against the wall and seeing what'll stick.
Yes, and looking at the greasy pepperoni stains afterward. That's on you, Marco. That's on your white shirt.
And that's his underwear. What's happening today?
I don't know.
We didn't plan this.
No, we didn't. So anyways, if you want to call into the show, 734-822-1600, give us your opinion on the greasy stains of Marco Rubio and the garbage that he's spewing this time around at the debates. And I don't know, Jeb Bush looked like the complete buffoon that he always is. And I did see Trump get a little irritated, though. Which, you know, I felt like saying, dude, just calm down. You're so far ahead in the polls. You ought to be the most relaxed guy out there.
He's always irritated.
Just shrug his shoulders. He doesn't have to do anything. He can just sit there and look at the moderator and just shrug his shoulders and say, hey.
Yeah, he can say, the rest of you are so useless. I can just sit here and stare, and I'm going to win.
And he would. And he absolutely would. He's just doing it, man. Everything they throw at him is
Teflon
just
Donald.
Teflon Donald. Well, let's get into... you know, this omnibus bill passed, and let me first say that all our federal Michigan legislators, including our two senators, Debbie Stabenow Gary Peters supported this omnibus bill, $1.1 trillion, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Yeah, for basically, what, 9 months worth of government operations till, what is it, next September?
Yes, yeah. And, but even worse than that, because I would expect Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters being the liberal, progressive, big spenders of your money type of people that they are to go ahead and vote for this, I wouldn't have expected all of our other congressional candidates or politicians to have done this, including all the Republicans except one. Justin Amash did not vote for it. He's the only one. So even my congressman, Tim Walberg, voted for it. And I got to say, you know what? I'm just, Tim, you're making it very hard for me to support you when you go for this. I would rather have you just said, the heck with it, not going to do it because of this, this, and this. So to be fair, we're going to go over the pros and the cons of this because, and I think if we have Tim on, and I'm sure he's going to probably want to come on to try and defend why he voted for this. But of course, if you go to the government website, they'll say, hey, here's the reasons why. So let's go through the pros real quick. The pros are the bill abides by last year's bipartisan agreement. I don't think that's a good thing. Overall, discretionary spending has been reduced by $176 billion since 2010. You know, when they say since 2010 or over the next 10 years, that's code words for we're screwing you long term and kicking it down the road. $176 billion over the last 5 years, you've curtailed discretionary spending.
That's so over 5 years, that's $176 billion total?
Yes.
So that comes out to about 30-something billion a year out of a multi-trillion dollar budget?
And what they do is they just move it to something that's not so discretionary. You know what I mean? They're playing the shell game with us.
Well, and plus it's peanuts anyway.
It is peanuts. It is peanuts. And I think literally, you know, with the record tax revenue that they're taking in right now, we're like either $400 billion or $500 billion from being in a balanced budget. You couldn't find $400 billion of waste to balance the budget. You useless sacks of human garbage. You can't find $400 billion.
Can you imagine back in the 80s when we started running some big-time deficits, annual deficits, and back then, thinking about the deficits compared to now, when you think, well, it's only $400 and $500 billion now. We've gotten it down. Can you imagine? I mean, it's the numbers are astronomical, yet they're now looked at as, well, it's much better than it was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we were in the 80s thinking of $400, $500 billion a year, but, and I know the time value of money and a dollar then was worth more than a dollar. I get all that. But still, yeah. I mean, the dollar amounts on an annual basis are just astronomical, and to the point where you become so desensitized, so numb to the numbers that $400, $500 billion doesn't look all that bad.
No,
you know, relatively speaking.
And for all that kind of money, they can't find
better.
They can't find five measly billion dollars to harden the grid.
Right. Right.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Or start, you know, border the wall and
all this kind of garbage in here. The bill addressed a number of national security priorities, including $64 billion for overseas contingencies operations to combat the threat of ISIL. How about calling it ISIS, first off? That doesn't cost you a dime. God. And that's to train our Iraqi allies. Ooh, that's a bonus. And reinforce European countries facing Russian aggression.
They're so grateful for.
Yeah.
Matt.
And then here we go. The bill notably stops the transfer or release of Guantanamo detainees into the United States. Well, thanks for that one. I had an apartment I wanted to rent to one of them. Thank you. All right, number three. The bill includes several provisions to protect jobs and rein in regulatory overreach. Until you pass TPP next month, right? You dirty buggers. You know, it's just, I'll give you a little, and I'm taking it right back.
I need TP for my TPP.
Exactly. It says the bill protects jobs and advances a number of energy priorities, but doesn't really say, oh, here we go, Army Corps of Engineering. Ugh. That's code language for spending a lot of money. That's what that's for.
I have a friend of a friend that worked for that. I think he's still working for him. He's kind of going to retire. He's in his 50s. Oh, what a boondoggle job that is.
Oh,
is he made out like a bandit.
Yeah, here we go. Notably, the bill cuts funding for the EPA for the fifth consecutive year. And oddly enough, does absolutely nothing. because Barack Obama just empowered the EPA to cut off all our coal plants, right?
Well, George Soros is going to revive them and sell them to the Chinese.
You know it. He now controls all the coal plants in the United States, right? Pretty much. And the bill also includes no new funding for Obamacare. Well, you already gave them everything they needed. And if Obamacare is going broke, what's the difference? The bill slashes funding for the IRS by $345 million to below its fiscal year of 2008. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, but now instead of a three-hour wait on the phone to get a question answered, it's going to be 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Oh, it says it prohibits funds for the White House to order the IRS to determine tax-exempt status of an organization. I guess that's a way of protecting us conservatives from being audited or something. I don't know. The bill maintains all existing pro-life policy and funding provisions. Well, you didn't cut off Planned Parenthood, put it that way. A 21st century health care system for our veterans and their families. Yeah, all right, good. About time you start taking care of them. Increasing funding for the National Institute of Health. Yeah. All right, so there's your pros. I don't know how pro they are and how good they are. But here's what it really does, and this is what should have people upset. These are your cons for Paul Ryan's omnibus bill. The Ryan omnibus fully funds DACA, right? That's that dreamer. That's Barack Obama's dreamer thing. We're not going to throw them out. We're going to mainstream them and track them toward becoming legal, and it's deferred action for childhood arrivals. Ooh, yes. Well, that's one of them. Ryan's omnibus funds sanctuary cities. What are we talking about? What happened to Kate's Law? Well, not in there anyway. You think you would have at least fought for that one. No, he didn't bother fighting for that one.
You know, this subject of, say, sanctuary cities where it's a violation of federal law. Why don't the feds just move right in there and make an example of a city and start busting people and make a real big deal about it? And why doesn't that ever happen? Do they just say, oh.
That would be work, dude.
The local government is, you know, even though they're violating federal law, we can't touch that. I mean, are they so PC that they don't feel like they can get involved if a state or a local municipality is violating the law?
Yeah.
That puts national security at risk?
Yeah, it's our self-imposed PC suicide pact is what it is.
Apparently.
And we're just not getting anywhere. Let's take a quick call from Mike in Ann Arbor who wants to talk about the bill. Mike, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas, guys.
And hey, you too. Mike.
We might as well just say the Republican Party is dead. Let's bury it. And as far as Mr. Wahlberg is concerned, Mr. Wahlberg, if you happen to be listening, I'll never vote for you again, nor will my wife. And anybody that I see that asks who are you going to vote for Congress, I will say anything but Wahlberg. He
wow.
sold us out. Of course, Ryan sold us out. And Ryan, by the way, it was on Frank Beckman had it earlier this week. I understand Mr. Ryan has built a big security fence in his home in Janesville, Wisconsin. But he doesn't want to fund the fence on the border.
Why are you stealing my thunder, man? You're just
why?
Stealing it.
Why?
Because I was going to talk about that later, but you
oh,
just
you were?
Brought
okay,
it up.
Well,
that's okay.
Okay. But anyways, as far as the Republican Party
he's
is
actually
concerned,
complimenting.
You can put a fork in it. It's gone. It's dead. When you have Schumer, Pelosi, Reid laughing, getting more than they even would have asked for, one has to ask themselves, why not just vote Democratic?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, basically, what we've gotten from the Republican Party is nothing. It's betrayal. And is it any wonder that more and more people are going for Donald Trump? I even heard Ken from Livonia the other day, a guy that would have never gone for Trump, now suddenly is bantering for Trump. Donald Trump is going to get more and more votes. And as far as I'm concerned, any Republican on the ticket should not be voted for. And if Trump isn't on the ticket, write in his name. They're
yeah.
going to try to destroy Mr. Cruz, you know, and again, the thing is it comes back from McConnell. McConnell is the guy that wants to destroy Cruz. I hope he doesn't. I would love to see a Trump-Cruz ticket. I think that would be a viable ticket.
Yeah, that's my dream ticket, too.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. I can't see Cruz being president because, frankly, I don't think he has the power behind him to run for that office. He would make a good vice president, and that would get him ready for the presidency, maybe after 4 years after Trump has had his time there. But I can see a Trump-Cruz ticket, and as far as the Republicans are concerned, We talked about it a while back. You know, Rens Priebus sends little notes to me from time to time asking for money, and I write some very nasty things back to him. And he has stopped doing that. I wouldn't give him the sweat off my back end. I really wouldn't. I might give him what comes out of the back end, send it to him in an envelope.
I think my eyes are big as saucers right there, Mike. You scared me.
No, I wasn't going to say that. But you get my drift.
I do.
You know what I'm wondering? What is Bill Bennett going to do on Monday morning after his little boy that he supposedly claims to be his son has betrayed the American people?
Well, I'll tell you what Bennett's going to do. He's going to be like all these other GOP guys. We had to do it. We couldn't have shut down the government. We don't have the cojones to shut down the government. We'd get in big trouble from the electorate. You're already in big trouble from the electorate, and that's why people are looking at Donald Trump, you useless.
And you know what? Yeah. You know what? There's a caller that calls from from our area, Tom, Angry Tom, and calls him Uncle Bill. Is he still going to call him Uncle Bill after his boy has screwed the country?
Well, we all have a bad uncle somewhere.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. But anyway,
I'm the bad
thunder,
uncle.
But isn't it? You know what? Have you seen his beard lately? That Ryan.
Yes, had? The Taliban beard.
Yeah, you know what? I think he's been sucking some of that beard oil that they put on. Maybe it is beer oil. Beard oil that they put on, it's gone to his brain, whatever brain he's got left.
Stop stealing my thunder, man. You're taking everything I've got lined up here, Mike, and you're just throwing it out right now. Nothing like hitting the whole shot one way.
Well, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. As far as I'm concerned, you know what? I'd rather vote communist. Honest to God, at least I know what I'm getting.
Well, at least you had that option this time around.
have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, guys, and maybe it'll be better. After the first, who knows?
You too. Take care,
okay,
Mike. Merry Christmas
to
you. All right. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. So, yes, absolutely, man. This is the most heinous thing. And the Republicans just don't get it. And the pundits on TV, they just don't get it. Do you understand now why, as a conservative, common sense people, we're looking at Donald Trump? I know I probably shouldn't be looking at Donald Trump. He doesn't have a record that I would agree with most of the time. But, you know, I'm so fed up with the rest of these politically correct douchebags, I just can't vote Republican anymore. You've made it impossible for me to vote Republican. What the hell are you doing, people?
Hey, you've got an uncle in the radio business, Uncle Bill. Uncle Bill.
Yeah, you know.
We'll never make it.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so let's keep on with, we got a few minutes before the break here. Ryan's Omnibus funds all the Mideast immigration programs, okay? So the 10,000 you were talking about, blah, 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 is now actually going to be like 300,000. 300,000, right?
And you know, to add on to that, and I can't remember who was saying it, but a very well-informed politician, it was Rand Paul of all people. Yeah. Usually I'm ripping on Rand Paul.
Yeah.
He was saying to Laura Ingraham, I believe, that if you bring one, you get 10, because then they start bringing over their family members and their relatives and all this business. So multiply it by a factor of 10 for every one that you let in.
Yep. The omnibus funds illegal aliens.
And they're all vetted, of course.
Yeah.
But you can't look at their Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
See, because there's no reason to. Unless we have a reason to, we don't look at it.
Why?
Are you kidding me? Now I'm going to go off. Homeland Security, all of you people that were in the loop on not vetting properly because, for example, not looking at this Malik's Facebook page where she swore her allegiance to ISIS, where she was all for jihad, you people in Homeland Security and any other departments and any other in the string of this, you should be put on trial and then put before a firing squad, made an example of.
Yeah, well. You're hot now, dude.
No, I mean, I absolutely believe what I just said. I'm not. It's not hyperbole. Make an example. 21 people killed. No, 14 killed. 20.
Some wounded. Yeah. Oh, I think there was more wounded than that.
Wait. 14 people killed. I believe 15 wounded. Right. Yeah. 19 wounded. Something like that. Yeah. One is too many.
Yeah.
For dereliction of duty, political correctness, garbage.
Well, the guy that had a program looking at the mosque that they attended and was told you can't do that because it's not politically correct. Who made that decision? That person should be fired.
Absolutely. Let's clean house. Instead, you don't hear anyone being punished. Oh, yeah. Not even fired or reprimanded or find. Yeah, nothing.
Anything. Well, we'll continue our conversation when we come back. We'll see you guys on the other side.
It's Christmas time again. Time for family gatherings, holiday songs, and the celebration of our dear Savior's birth. This is Derek Stone, board operator and producer here at Wham Talk 1600. My favorite Christmas tradition is watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The movie not only features great musical numbers, but it also teaches us that the spirit of the holiday lives within our souls, not through material items. From the Wham family to your family, have a happy holiday season.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The U.S. Embassy in Pakistan warning of possible terror attacks in the country's capital in late December. This according to the Associated Press. Meanwhile, here at home, federal law enforcement cracking down on individuals they say have ties to militants. An arrest in Pennsylvania, the most recent.
19-year-old Jaleel Amin Amir Aziz of Harrisburg now faces two counts related to conspiring and attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization, namely ISIS. He was arrested on Thursday.
Fox's Molly Lyne.
Prosecutors allege the teenager used social media to disseminate ISIS propaganda, including execution photos, and a link to the identifying information of 100 members of the U.S. military calling for violence against them.
And a shoplifting suspect in Tennessee shot and killed after running over deputies. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Small Works exhibit continues at Northville Art House through December 12th and will be open until 9 p.m. on Friday, December 4th, during Northville's First Friday Experience. Small Works, an all-media juried art exhibit at the Northville Art House, is backed by popular demand and here just in time for the holiday gift-giving season. This exhibit showcases works of art limited to 12 inches by 12 inches by artists from throughout Metro Detroit and several other states. Disciplines include painting, drawing, sculpture, jewelry making, and many others. A second exhibit is being held in the lower gallery. Picture This is the theme of this year's Northville Camera Club exhibit, the club's biggest event of the year. Both exhibits continue through December 12th during regular gallery hours, Wednesday through Saturday, 1 to 5 p.m. The Art House will also be open until 9 p.m. on Friday, December 4th, during Northville's monthly First Friday Experience. For more information, call 248-344-0497. Or visit northvilleArthouse.org. The Teens Using Drugs, What to Know and What to Do series provides a starting point for families seeking advice and help for a substance-involved young person and has provided practical information for people from diverse areas throughout Southeast and Mid-Michigan since 1999. The January 2016 series will be presented from 7:30 to 9 p.m. on Tuesday, January 5th, which is part one, What to Know, and Tuesday, January 12th, part two, What to Do. Programs are presented at the St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. The series is free and open to the public. For more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to catch The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey.
You had me laughing so hard, dude. I don't know if I can even hardly speak at this point to get through. Let me start with this. We got a nice email from Jerry, who says, wonderful show. Amen for your comments on the omnibus fiasco. Why is it so hard to say omnibus? Omnibus. Oh, see, and I got it now. Thanks for citing our Michigan reps who voted for it. And how about naming the names? A nice personal credit for their work is developed. Yes, I actually have that list in front of me. Man, our listeners are so on to me that they're just taking all my stuff. I might as well just not come in anymore. Good job, Jerry. Well, yes, we're going to do that right now. Dan Beneshek from Michigan's 1st District voted yes to the omnibus. Bill Heisinger, 2nd District, yes. Justin Amash, no. He had the big nay. Thanks, Justin. That's a good job. John Moulinar from the 4th District. Yay. Daniel Kildee. No vote. He pulled a Rubio. Fred Upton voted yay. Tim Walberg, yay. Mike Bishop took Mike Rogers' place. Voted yay. That's a dumb move, Mike. You know, you're going. Here's what he's going up against. He's going up against that actress lady, Melissa Sue Gilbert. And you know what? A lot of his support, his conservative support, is going to say, "Yeah, screw you. I'm going to go with the good-looking actress lady instead of you, Mike Bishop." So you're
that's what Rob Lowe did.
Maybe we get Rob Lowe to move to the 8th district. And
I think he's a conservative.
He is very conservative. I would vote for him.
He was hooked up with Melissa Sue Gilbert or whatever her name is.
Really? She met her husband or married whatever his name is?
Yeah, those two were a couple.
What's her husband's
name? I don't think they were married, but they were, you know.
What's her husband's name? The redheaded fella. I can't remember. He was on 30-something, whatever.
Timothy Busfield.
Timothy Busfield. You know, he's famous. Well, I always laugh when I see him because he was the guy from Revenge of the Nerds who played the electric fiddle, whatever it was. He was I can't remember his name now. But yeah, you got to watch Revenge of the Nerds, dude. That's a winner. I'm going to have to take that and watch it with my son one of these days.
I just remember the promo, the previews for it. Nerds! That one guy.
Nerds! Like, I can't stop, dude. You're killing me. Sander Levin voted yay. Candace Miller voted yay. I heard rumor that she was going to run for governor. Really? Well, let me tell you, Candace. Don't waste your time because you're going to have the conservatives telling you to go jump off a bridge. You'll be jumping off that new Gordie Howe bridge that Rhino Rick put together for us.
Didn't you see her in Vegas playing the slots?
No, that was the one that ran for Senate. The blonde lady with the terrible haircut. Look her up, Derek. Who ran for our... she was the former Secretary of State here, I think. Whatever. I don't even care anymore. Candace Miller voted yay. Dave Trott, the super rich. He's like one of the richest congressmen in the country. Here's a guy who has the ability to stand up and tell everyone to go take a flying leap off of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a weak quisling that he just jumps right in line with whatever else, you know?
Quisling. I like it. Huh? I'm impressed.
Weak, rich quisling. A disgrace. Dave Trott, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Debbie Dingell, go figure, Democrat, voting for this omnibus. I'm spending all your money, folks, and you're going to love it. You dirtbag. John Conyers, of course, the ultimate dirtbag, voted yay. And Brenda Lawrence from the 14th District voted yay as well. As well as Debbie Stabenow and Gary Spendalot Peters. They both voted yes. That's your two U.S. senators. So you know what, people? The next time you go to the voting polls, right, just say no to these dirtbags who want to spend you into oblivion. You know, they're spending you and your children and your grandchildren right into oblivion. Thank you very much. I'm disgusted. Thank you, Jerry, for supporting that. And he also just wants to say he loves the border security that Ryan is putting up around his mansion, but not across the southern border. That's exactly right. We're going to get to that one as well. But let's finish this out here. There's a couple other things here on this omnibus that people need to know about. The omnibus funds the release of criminal aliens. Thank you very much, Paul Ryan. And it also quadruples the number of H-2B foreign worker visas. So all you people that think you have a good job because you've got a nice technology, science, technology, and math, STEM degree or something, you can throw that right out the window too because you know what? Zuckerbergs and all the bigwigs on Wall Street are going to say, yeah, here's your new trainee and here's your severance package.
Do they get to bring their wives from, say,
well, of course,
Pakistan?
Yes, absolutely they will. Ryan Omnibus funds tax credits for illegal aliens. Oh, for crying out loud. I didn't even see that one. Oh, my God. Omnibus locks in huge spending increases. Of course it does, doesn't it always? And it fails to allocate funds to complete the 700-mile double-layer border fence that Congress promised the American people 10 years ago. I'm so mad, I just want to scream. I want to walk out that door right now and scream down the hallway because I can't scream in here. Really? I'm so worked up right now. So part of this funding increase is 300,000 visas for Muslim immigrants in 1 year. So forget about that 10,000 that you just talked about earlier. It's now 300,000 visa immigrants for Muslim migrants. Muslim, why? Well, how about, isn't that?
Which ultimately means 3 million. It does.
I'm turning into Beavis and Butthead right here before my very eyes, dude. 300,000 visa for Muslim migrants. Hold on. Isn't that unconstitutional? Didn't we just talk about it being unconstitutional to say we can't prohibit Muslims? And yet here we are saying only Muslims. 300,000 for Muslims. What about the Christians that are getting their heads cut off?
Well, in the words of Barack Obama, we have to do our part. We're better than that.
Okay, didn't you just say something about 3 million?
Yeah, because if you get one, you get 10.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, here, let me...
Brothers, sisters, uncles, cousins, they all start coming in because they got that one foot in the door, meaning that one person, so the other 10 who are in the refugee camp.
Yeah, it's like being
America,
in the cafeteria line in school, and somebody lets somebody cut, and then somebody else gets a cut, and then somebody else takes a cut, and you're like, hey, man! I'm sitting here waiting for those cold mashed potatoes, and you're just cutting in front of me. You and your cousin Ahmed.
You gonna eat your tots? here's the thing too. When you start letting in refugees, the American mindset, whether it's the most grassroots Joe Blow, Joe Sixpack on the street, or our elitist politicians in charge, the mindset is this: if you're in a war-torn country, and you're being victimized and blah, 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 you're in a bad situation because of this guy that we don't like either, then you automatically must be okay. No! There's a more likely scenario of not only are you being brutalized by strongman A, but you also hate America at the same time, but you will still come here.
Well, sure they will.
For a variety of motives.
It's part of soft jihad, dude.
It's across the board. We automatically think that just because someone wants to get away from a country that maybe has a leader or a group that is persecuting them, that they're somehow going to be, they're automatically rather going to be grateful to America. They're going to want to assimilate. That used to be the case maybe 100 years ago, coming over from Eastern Europe, Southern Europe. But that's not the case when they come from the Middle East. No, they hate us as much as they hate the person they're fleeing from their own country.
That's exactly right. Let's take a quick call from Ed Ypsilanti. Hey, Ed, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Oh, we're all friends, right?
But sure.
Okay. I like Mike. I like you. Actually, I'm kind of curious, what is the attack on Bennett about Ryan? I'm not following that one.
Oh, I know what Mike's talking about, because Paul Ryan was a, what do they call it?
Oh, no.
He was an intern for Bill Bennett back in the
day. I understand. I know what you mean. If you want to explain it for the audience, that's fine. But I understand the Ryan Bennett connection myself. I'm just wondering, like, I've heard Bennett disagree with Ryan and some of Ryan's positions. I mean, he's proud
of
the guy.
Is he going to disagree on Monday is what we're asking. That's what Mike was pointing out, Ed. What do you think? He's going to disagree or he's going to be... My guess is Bill Bennett, being a establishment guy, is going to say, hey, it's all right. And he'll probably go over the facts that I did the pros for you. That's what Bill Bennett's an establishment guy. But that's all. There's nothing else to say about it.
You know, Bill Bennett knows people in the establishment. He's claimed not to be... He believes he aligns himself more Tea Party. But going along those lines, is Jeff Sessions, is he an establishment guy?
No. I wouldn't say Jeff Sessions is an establishment guy.
I read an interesting defense that Jeff Sessions made this morning of Ryan and the rest of Congress, which is, you know what, I hate this omnibus bill. Don't get me wrong. And somebody's got to be held accountable. But I think before we go too far and say we're not voting for Wahlberg, we're not voting for Bishop, we're not voting for Upton, let's hear what they have to say first. Why don't you get them on the air and let's talk to them? Because,
Ed, listen to me. It just passed, number one. So before you go on and keep blathering on about us being too tough on them, number one, it's my job to do this. And number two, it's your job to be asking them. If they want to come on, they're always welcome to come on. I've had Tim Wahlberg on the show probably more than any other radio host in the country. Okay, it's that simple.
You, Mike, and I interviewed Tim Wahlberg, and we were pretty tough on him.
Yes.
Look, I'm just saying, you know, Sessions was saying, he was, I don't know if you want to call it making excuses. Like I said, I don't like the omnibus. I just like to be a little bit maybe too Pollyannish, but a little bit fair here. Ryan's new on the job.
Number one, I don't get any more fair, Ed, than reading the prose off the first. I went right ahead. Did I? Did you not listen to all the prose that I read off, which is the talking points of the establishment and all the guys that voted for it? Did you not hear me read those?
I'm not following in that statement. I'm
sorry. I read before I started dishing on him, I read the prose, which will be the talking points. It's right off the Paul Ryan website. I read it out for you. I cannot be any more pro or fair than to have read the pro statements of why they voted for it. Did I not do that?
No, you did.
Okay, so there you go. I'm fair as it can be. All right, thanks, Ed, because we're obviously not going to get along today. But thanks for the call. I appreciate your point. All right, so there we go. Ed's in a bad mood.
Ed's your neighbor.
Ed is not my neighbor. I love Ed to death. But when he starts saying I'm not being fair, holding these people accountable, that's my job, Ed. It is my job to be holding these people accountable, and that's what I'm doing. And if that means I'm bashing them, I'm going to bash them. I have been Tim Walberg's biggest supporter since I met him when he last got reelected.
You guys are friends.
We're friends. I love Tim. He's a good guy. But I disagreed that instead of standing up and saying, I'm not voting for this because of this, this, and this, you know, they're so worried about causing a shutdown. You know what? How many of us were hurt on the sequester? Raise your hand. Anybody? Did you feel it personally? Did the sequester affect you personally? Did we have cats and dogs living together? Was it raining brimstone because sequestration happened? No. Now, is our military a little less functional and doesn't have the money they did it? Yes, that is a fact. But sequestration did nobody any harm, and it actually is the reason spending was down, because of sequestration. They forced it. We have to stop being afraid of listen to me. Use some common sense, for crying out loud. If you turn your car, has this ever happened to you? You turn your car on, and the accelerator's stuck, and it revs up. What do? You let it run until it burns up? What would you do?
You shut the engine off.
You shut the engine off. Derek, lawnmower. You turn your lawnmower on and it starts revving out of control. What do? Do you let it run?
No, you shut it off.
You shut it down. That's what you do to save it.
Mine never starts, so I never have that problem.
This is just common sense. You know, it doesn't take that much to go through and find the ways and cut some things. They could balance the budget, and they could do it in 1 year. Anybody that says we're gonna balance the budget over in the next 10 years, they're just kicking it down the road. They're never going to balance the budget.
Yeah, you hear that crap? We've been hearing that for decades.
We've been hearing it for decades, and I'm sick of it. And you know what? Will I vote for Tim Walberg? Well, if it comes down to him and this Driscoll lady, of course I'm going to vote for Tim Walberg, because she is not. At least he lies to me a little bit and says he's going to try and cut it. She won't even lie. She just goes, I'm going to spend.
Hey, if we can't cut spending, at least we can cut carbon gases. Paris will prove that.
Yeah.
That's another 10 years, this, that, you know. I mean, what a lot of crap.
Well, you know, I forgot to say earlier in the show, what we do on the daily on the Drift is go over the stories we put on the Daily Drift. And it's funny that you mentioned $3 million coming in the door, right?
Uh-huh.
So I put an article on the Daily Drift this morning. As of 2013, the Obama administration approved 3 million new immigrant worker visas in 1 year. That was 2013. Now, ask yourself this question.
That means you're going to have 30 million then.
Yes. So do those 3 million leave? I doubt it.
No.
Okay, they're there. So my guess is 2014 was probably pretty close to that 3 million mark as well. And 2015, probably also about that same amount. So there you go. You said 3 million. You hit it right on the head, and you didn't even look at this article, did you?
No, but the thing is, like I said, whatever amount you bring in here, just multiply it by 10, because on average, that's what you're going to get when you throw in all the family members.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy, and it's just absolutely insane that people will continue to try and protect them. I've had enough. I am not going to protect people anymore from this, because you know what? Tim, you voted for it. You have to own this. You're welcome to come on the show and tell us why. I mean, I had you on the last time when you gave the TPP, the president, authority to do TPP, and they now have 60 days or 90 days to vote it up or down. There's no changing it. He said at that time that it gives Congress more power to just say, no, we're not going to do it.
And
I don't believe that. I believe they're going to add past TPP. I do. I believe that.
And off the top of my head, I would think that a caller, a listener like Ed, should be actually more favorable toward you because you are friends with Tim, and it'd be very easy for you to gloss over it.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Because you don't want to jeopardize the relationship you have with him.
Yeah, I mean, I give Tim every bit of what's the word I'm looking for? Every benefit of the doubt on everything. Because I know in Tim's heart he wants to do the right thing. But having been there for a while, he now says he's like many Republicans, he's afraid of a shutdown. And the thing is, we can no longer be afraid of the shutdown. It's Paul Ryan's job to get out and say, we're going to shut it down, and here's the reason why. And Tim Walberg and every other Republican congressman who really believes in cutting and balancing the budget should be out there talking to me and Fox News and MSNBC. They have to stop being afraid. They have to begin to, at some point, somebody has to stand up and say, if I lose my position as a congressman, then so be it. I'm standing up for what I believe. I'm standing up for the American people, and I'm not going to take this get along to go along crap anymore. Stand up for yourself. We put you into office to do that. And if you can't do it, I'm going to put somebody else into that office.
And I think, all things equal, Ted Cruz has kind of done that, right?
Ted Cruz has done a wonderful job of standing up and fighting. He really has. He's one of the good guys. Justin Amash, one of the good. And Tim has done his share. He's not voted yes. He's not just a go-along get-along. But this one is a go-along get-along, and I'm going to hold him accountable for it. He can come on the show. I'll give him an entire hour. I always give Tim the option of an entire hour because I love having him on. I mean, I love having the ability to get him in here and talk to him. So he's got the benefit of the doubt. Let's talk. Who's on line one there? Is that Jimmy? Jimmy on line one, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go way in a different direction because there's something going on here in the state that's, I think it's really important, is this getting rid of the straight party ticket voting.
Yes.
And our illustrious governor, he's weighing the pros and cons and really thinking hard about it and all what he's doing.
Is that where we're at, Jimmy? It's on his desk right now, the straight ticket voting?
Yes. Yes, it is. So he doesn't know if he's going to veto it or sign it. And he needs to sign it. And the reason why he needs to sign it is because this helps politicians at the local level. That's what this is about. This isn't about the national level. This isn't about any of that. You know, instead of being a moron when you go in to vote and just checking Republican or Democrat or whatever it is, you actually have to have a brain and think and say, well, this guy might be a Democrat, like Dan Menzies, for example. Dan Menzies, Democrat, as our sheriff, and he was an excellent sheriff. He was one of the best sheriffs we've had in my lifetime, and I really respected that man, and I voted for him several times. I've never voted straight party ticket in my entire life because there's some Democrats out there that aren't bad people. I disagree with them once in a while, but most of the time I agree. That's all you're going to get anyway is 50, 60, maybe 70%. If you get 70%, you've done something. You know?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I saw a statistic, and Dan Smith, our county commissioner, Dan Smith, told me this a long time ago, and I looked it up, and I've been watching, because I've run for office several times. Straight ticket voting in any election approximates normally about 20% of the vote. There are 20% of people who go to vote, and they just flip that straight ticket lever, whether it's because they're lazy or whether because they're agenda-driven or demagoguery or whatever it is, 20%. That 20% makes it almost impossible for an independent or a third-party candidate to ever win in a local or state election. Almost impossible. So straight ticket voting perpetuates the two-party system, the Democrats and the Republicans. And Rick Snyder, Rhino Rick, is probably going to veto it because he knows this will allow a third party and independent candidates to jump into this. So I bet, if I had to bet $20 on it, I'd say Rhino Rick is going to veto this, and it's a shame. But I would tell everybody, every independent, every conservative Republican, every liberal Democrat, send an email to Rick Snyder saying we want to end straight ticket voting, because you know what? It educates the voter. You can no longer just go in and slap that lever. You have to do a little homework. Even if it's meeny, miny, mo, when you're in the booth, you're going to have to make a decision by looking at it. It's that simple.
Right.
Straight ticket voting is a disgrace to the country and should no longer be allowed.
Right, exactly. And what really hurts is us local people in the local government. We don't get the really good township people. We don't get, I mean, you take a look at somebody like Roy Smith that goes out, here's a guy who is, he's the chairman of the Western Washtenaw County Democrats. He runs as a Republican because that's the only way that he can win in Sylvan Township. He wins, he's great. He's fantastic on property taxes and property rights and a lot of things. Now, there are some things that he's wrong about, but that's beside the point. He's still a very good person there. Now, would I vote for him for state legislature? Probably not. But I would certainly vote if I lived in Sylvan Township to make him my trustee or my township supervisor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just end that by saying this, Jimmy. Let's encourage people to email Rick Snyder and say, hey, end straight ticket voting, because you know what? We should be deciding each candidate based on their character, their actions, and their words, not their party. It's that simple. And that goes from local to county to state. Do your homework before you go into the election booth. At least read the stuff that comes in your mail if you do nothing else, so that you can make a semi or quasi-intelligent decision when you go into the voting booth.
Well, these people just want to say that, oh, we're just stupid, and we're not stupid. We're smarter than they are, you know, and that's what makes me mad. They're counting on stupidity so that they can get in.
Yeah.
How do you think somebody like Rick Snyder wins?
Right. Right. That's exactly right. All right, well, thanks for the call, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Appreciate it. Let me try and get in our sponsor again here. This half hour, Grapevine Market. It's the holidays. If you need to stock up on liquor for the holidays, make sure to go to Grapevine Market, 106 Lafayette Street in South Lyon, 248-437-7004. They also have pizzas and party subs and that kind of stuff, but they truly do have the best liquor prices I've seen, and I do my fair share of shopping. And so make sure you call them, 248-437-7004. You go to currentonline.com and look at the latest issue, and you can also see their ad in there. They've got great beer and wine prices as well. So go to Grapevine Market in Lafayette Street, South Line, 106 Lafayette Street, 248-437-7004. Ooh, I got that then.
Good job.
Yeah, we're almost out of time. But the last thing I wanted to talk to you about was Bernie Sanders threatened to sue the DNC. Because there's a Democratic debate on tonight. Not that anybody knows about it, right? It's Saturday night again. You know, this is what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to hide and shield Hillary. And so they're doing another debate on Saturday night. And Bernie Sanders, I hope tonight, will stop playing protection guy for her and go after her after what they tried to do to stop him from getting his information out of the database.
And she's such an easy person to take down.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, all these guys, he doesn't have to even talk. Just walk up there and play sound bites from the things she's said over the years.
Absolutely.
That's all you have to do.
Absolutely. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Love your calls. Thanks for all those calls there, AP people. So see you next. We won't see you next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Well, you won't be here in 2 weeks, but I will be.
You will be. I might call in. All right, see you then.
Take care.